I'll be reading from Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Numbers 9, 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of the month, at even, we shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it. And according to all the ceremonies thereof shall we keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, that they should keep the Passover.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. I feel like it's been a while. I was off for a gospel meeting, and then I came in for the gospel meeting we had here with Tim. So I feel like it's been a while, and so many things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for all of you praying for me as I was at that gospel meeting. I heard Sarah when she came on Wednesday, there were some questions on why she came Wednesday, and I can tell you, she was in the right place. She was where she needed to be. Sarah knew when I signed up for that gospel meeting what it would cost of me and what it would cost of her, because it was many evenings without me being there for her. But I knew she would be good with her family here at Sandyville. I know that some old ladies at Tartus would have taken care of her as well. They were very happy when we were there. But I knew she would be safe here, and I wouldn't have to worry about her. So that's why she was here on Wednesday, because I knew that you all would take care of her, and I'm thankful for your prayers in respect to that. I'm thankful for our gospel meeting. I'm so thankful for our teachers. Our teaching quarter is ending. We're thankful for Karen. We're thankful for Amy. Thankful for Megan. Thankful for Mark. Thankful for Rhett. Thanks for all those that have taught Bible class, and we're thankful for these new teachers coming into this next quarter. So many things to be thankful for here at Sandyville. So many people that support and participate and are involved in the Lord's work, and what a blessing that is. Jacob, I sing at the house. To my wife, probably not the happiest, but farther along has gotten me many a time, and I have found that if I'm singing at the house or I'm listening to it, if I start to cry, I just can't hold myself back, because every line just comes back, every line, the chorus and every verse, it just keeps hitting you, and there's just no way to come back. But I think God definitely had worship for a reason, and singing as part of it for a reason, because I think it does touch us in a way that many times other things in worship don't touch us in quite that way. This morning, I'd like to look at Numbers and Second Passover. There's a lot of background to cover, and usually I don't necessarily preach this way, but what I'm going to try to do is compare Passover with the Lord's Supper. Now, I know that these are not the same things, and I know they're very different, and they're under different testaments, and I would certainly not want to bind anything from the Old Testament, as we learned this morning and reinforced this morning in our Bible class. We understand that the law was our tutor to bring us to faith. But once we're under faith, we're no longer under the tutor. We see that in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Certainly the law had its purpose to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But once faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. But what I would like to do is compare Passover with the Lord's Supper. I want to look at Passover and how the Jews kept it. I want to look at their dedication, although there's many times they slipped up in keeping Passover in the Old Testament. They fell short many times doing what God had asked them to do in relation to Passover. But God asked them to remember Passover. Remember what happened in Egypt. And he gave certain things for them to do to remember Passover. And I want to look at some of those things and use that as a springboard to just think about the Lord's Supper. I understand that I'm not trying to bind anything from the Old Testament, but do a comparison that I hope will maybe prick your heart. As we look at the Jews that were following God faithfully under the Old Testament at the time that they lived, and comparing that to the Lord's Supper. If we were under the Old Testament, would we keep Passover the way that they kept Passover? Would we follow the regulations that God laid for us? Would we do the things that God asked us to do? And if we're not doing the Lord's Supper correct, I don't know how we could say we would go back in time to the Old Testament and be keeping Passover correctly. If we look at Passover and we consider Passover, we remember Egypt. Just to get into the history, remember the Israelites are in Egypt. They are slaves, and Moses and Aaron are selected as leaders to get them out of Egypt with God's help and assistance. They show up to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let these people go. We have a series of plagues, and the last plague is death of the firstborn. And God gives instructions to the Israelites on how to protect their family. It says they take the lamb without spot, without blemish, they sacrifice that lamb, they take that blood, they put it on the door, the angel will pass over, and those that have the blood on the door, the firstborn of their household will not die. They'll be protected. There are so many comparisons between the Old and the New Testament, but God says, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember how I got you out of Egypt, how you got your physical freedom. I want you to remember this. And we see that in Numbers chapter 9, but also throughout the Old Testament, that they were given the Passover to keep, which they would throw all of the leaven out of their house. All of the leaven would be out of their house, and they would partake of the Passover in the time period which God told them to, and they would remember how God got them out of Egypt. As I start this comparison, when you take a Passover in terms of the memorial, that's exactly what it was. When the Israelites, when the Jews kept Passover, it was for them to remember how God got them out of Egypt. How God got them out of physical slavery. You know what? Trying to compare that to the New Testament, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, what are we remembering? We're remembering a lot of things. We're remembering Jesus and His sacrifice, but what did Jesus' blood really do for us? He purchased our spiritual freedom. So Passover, they remembered a lot of things during the Passover period, but it was to remember what God did for them so that they could get out of Egypt, so they could have their physical freedom. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are really remembering many things, but one of the things we should remember is the cost that was paid so we could have spiritual freedom. Passover was a memorial, and they were told to keep it. The Lord's Supper is a memorial, and we in the New Testament are told to keep it. In fact, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and on multiple occasions in the New Testament, this being quoted, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Passover was a memorial. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It is to remember some things. And I think one thing to remember is freedom. In Passover, I think they were to remember that, but also for us in the New Testament, remember freedom. We remember that Passover, they had to take that lamb without spot, without blemish, and they had to kill that lamb, and they had to put the blood on their door. And that blood offered a place of protection for those individuals when punishment or judgment came on Egypt. That blood protected those individuals that were in the house. They would have left that house, they would have been in great danger on that evening. You know, the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says that Jesus is our Passover lamb. See, they had to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, they had to kill it, and then they took that blood and put it on their door, and that offered a place of protection. When we get to the New Testament, Jesus shed his blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and what did he purchase? He purchased the church. Which the church is our safe place in the New Testament, that when judgment comes, God will pass over. God will pass over the church, which he purchased with his own blood. That blood offers us protection. Jesus was our Passover lamb. It says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. There's no speculation. There's no principle argument that needs to be made. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus' blood offers us protection from judgment. I think of Passover, it was a memorial. I think of the Lord's Supper, it is a memorial. I think of the Passover lamb in relation to Passover and the significance of that. And I think of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, and his blood that protects us and really offers us a chance at freedom. In Numbers chapter 9, there's some questions that are brought up about Passover and keeping it. And I want to make an argument from principle. I'm not trying to bind anything. I'm trying to use the Passover as a springboard to discuss the Lord's Supper. But if we look at Numbers chapter 9, that is the subject that is brought up. They're talking about Passover. They're talking about keeping Passover. And an individual, a man, has a question about keeping Passover. And from this conversation that we have recorded for us, I think that there are some principles that we should think about in relation to the Lord's Supper. I know that they're not the same thing, but thinking about principles. If you look at Numbers chapter 9, and we get down to around verse 10, although we're going to see that a man is going to ask a question. If you look at verse 7 in chapter 9, it says, "Those men said to him, 'We became defiled by a human corpse. Why we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel.'" Let's start back at verse 6. It says, "Now there was a certain man who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep Passover on the day that that came before Moses and Aaron that day. Those men said to him, 'We have become defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord in its appointed time among the children of Israel?'" There's these individuals, they want to keep Passover, but they touch the dead body. And they ask the question, "Well, what are we to do? Passover, it's the day of Passover, it's time for Passover, what are we to do?" And you know what? God's going to give an answer to Moses. You see in verse 8 there, it says, "Moses said, 'Stand still that I may hear what the Lord is commanded concerning you.'" There's these individuals, they want to take Passover, but they are unclean. They touch the dead corpse. They say, "What are we to do?" You know what? God's going to give them the answer. Let's look at verse 9. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, if any one of you, of your posterity, if any one of you, of your posterity is unclean, because of the court, or it is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the second month.'" So these individuals, they want to take Passover, but they know that they're unclean. They touch the dead body, and they say, "What to do, what to do?" And Moses says, "I'll get you the answer, I'll talk to God." God gives the answer, and he says, "You know what you need to do? You need to get clean, and you need to wait a month and take it. You need to keep Passover, but you need to delay a month and do it a month later." See, Passover was just a once-a-year thing. The first principle I'd like to consider is Passover was a memorial, and there were reasons not to take Passover. And I want to use that as a springboard to apply that principle to the New Testament and say, are there reasons not to take the Lord's Supper? Are there reasons not to take the Lord's Supper? Passover was a memorial that was done in remembrance of their physical freedom. They remembered many things through that process, and we have some individuals here that say, "You know what? Maybe we shouldn't partake of Passover," and you know what? God says, "You're absolutely right." See, I find it interesting that God did not handle Passover casually, and he just said, "You know what? It's okay. You touch the dead body and you're unclean. Just take Passover anyway." You know what God basically said? He said, "Get clean and then take Passover." You know what? I think that principle might apply to the New Testament. Is there a reason or reasons that an individual might not partake of the Lord's Supper? And if I'm going to make an argument of principle, one of the principles we see in the Old Testament is if you were unclean in relation to touching a dead corpse, you were not supposed to take a Passover. When we go to the New Testament, we think about the Lord's Supper. Could we take the Lord's Supper and be unclean? I don't think it sounds like a good idea. Well, how can we be unclean in the New Testament? I think number one, non-Christian, and number two, I think we could also think about a Christian who has sin in their life that they need to deal with. When it comes to partaking of the memorial of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do not think that we should be partaking of it when we're unclean. Now, I want to give some clarification to this, and I want you to think about it a little bit, because we are making an argument from principle. But God had an attitude in the Old Testament. His attitude was, "Hey, you know what? You should probably be clean before you partake of this memorial." And I think that principle could apply in the New Testament. The first thing that I want to think about is a non-Christian. The fact is, and I think this is a fact, and I think this is biblical, is that if somebody is a non-Christian, why would you partake of the Lord's Supper? If you are not clean, If you don't have the forgiveness of sins, why would you partake the Lord's Supper? That being said, I think that there are many times where individuals come into our assembly that are not Christians and they partake the Lord's Supper. Do I think we should rip it out of their hands? No, I don't think so. Because I think when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, when you read there, there is a principle there, that, and actually we have a direct instruction. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." One of the most significant things of the Lord's Supper is self-examination. We need to examine ourselves to see if we're right with the Lord. We need to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. We need to examine ourselves. The Lord's Supper is serious business, and we need to think about it in a very serious way. You know what, when I was a non-Christian, you know one of the most disturbing parts of service was when the invitation song was sung. When the invitation song was sung, I felt very uncomfortable. You know why? Because I knew I was not right with the Lord. And I probably waited far too long because I knew that for a long time. There were times where I would hold the pew. There were times where I would look the other direction. I thought the preacher was looking at me. I'm sure the preacher wasn't looking at me, but I felt that way. I felt everybody's looking at me. Everybody's looking at me. I felt uncomfortable during the invitation. And you know what? I think that non-Christians, this is a time when we are passing around those emblems to really reflect and say, am I right with God? You know what? I also felt uncomfortable when the Lord's Supper was passed when I was a non-Christian. I would not encourage a non-Christian to partake of the Lord's Supper. However, if they partake, if they actually do what the Bible says, it could actually self-correct. But think about that. We don't run around with other acts of worship and do that, do we? I think that only saints should give. When the collection plate is passed, that is a collection of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. But if we have a non-Christian that tosses something in there, what do we do? If we see a non-Christian that's singing, what do we do? I think that there's a time and place for these things, and we need to have these conversations. I would not encourage a non-Christian to partake of the Lord's Supper. However, if you partake, I would suggest you look at what the Bible says about partaking the Lord's Supper and consider it very seriously. You need to examine yourself, and you need to think very thoroughly about what's going on. The fact is, the Lord's Supper was commanded to Christians. Giving was commanded to Christians. Singing was commanded to Christians. Prayer was commanded to Christians. All these things were commanded to Christians. You know what the most overarching idea is? If we know that we're unclean, if we know that we're not a Christian, or we know we're not in a right relationship with God because we have sin in our life, you know what we need to do? We need to be clean. And we need to be clean as soon as possible. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. I will not encourage non-Christians to partake of communion. However, if a non-Christian does, I do think that it's not the end of the world. One of the hardest conversations I had in my life was a conversation with my wife about the Lord's Supper. One of the hardest conversations I had in my life was a conversation with my wife, before she was my wife, about the Lord's Supper. I remember it like it was yesterday. I don't know if she remembers it like it was yesterday, but I remember. See, I fear that many times we don't have these hard conversations. There's a time and place for everything. And I don't know if the time and place is right in the middle of service. I don't think so. But if we know that there's a non-Christian partaking the Lord's Supper, shouldn't we care enough to have some type of conversation with him at some point? Sometimes I think people are not examining themselves the way that they should. I think sometimes it happens with non-Christians, but you know what? I think sometimes it happens with Christians too. Why would you partake of the Lord's Supper when you know you've got some sin in your life, some hidden sin that you know you're sinning, you know that you're guilty, you know that you're wrong, and you won't even go to God as a child of God, go to Him in prayer and be forgiven of those sins? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. When I look at the Old Testament, there's a principle there, is that we have this memorial, and God says, you got these individuals that are unclean, they say, what should we do? And you know what God says? Get clean, and then partake. And you know what? I think that principle would certainly apply in the New Testament, is when the Lord's Supper comes, we need to think to ourselves, am I right with God? Am I in a good relationship with God? Am I a New Testament Christian? Do I have outstanding sin in my life that I need to be taken care of? I think those principles would apply. And I know that these are not necessarily easy. But I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You need to examine yourself. You need to think about your relationship with God, whether non-Christian or Christian alike. You know, I think that's one of the hardest things in Christianity. To truly examine oneself. You know, David said this, I don't know if I'm quite this brave. I pray that I'm this brave. I try to be this brave. But you know what David says in Psalm 26 and verse 2? He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Would you open yourself up to God for that type of examination? David says, examine me, God. Examine my heart. Examine my mind. You look it over and you look it over real good, God. If God was to look you over real good, where would He say are the problems that you need to get addressed in your life? Would God say you need to become a New Testament Christian? Would God say, you know this area of sin in your life that no one knows about, that you're struggling with right now? Have you come to me in prayer and ask for forgiveness and try to do those things that are good and right? Number one, when I look at Passover, I think we have this idea that there might be some reasons not to take Passover, and I think there might be some reasons to not take the Lord's Supper. And I think that might fall underneath the principle of being unclean. Number two, when you look at verse 10, and God gives His answer, He says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your prosperity is unclean because of the court or is far away on a journey. Question, what could be your reason for not partaking of Passover in the Old Testament? I only see two. How many do you see? Number one, you're unclean. Number two, you're on a long journey. Now, we're making an argument of principle this morning. We're not making an argument of trying to bind the Old Testament, because I actually think that Christians should partake the Lord's Supper when they travel. I think we have far too many examples of Christians in the New Testament that were diligent and persistent, and they were going to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We have too many examples in the New Testament of Christians partaking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week to say, you know what? I'm just going to throw out my hands. I'm not going to do it. He told you to remember His Son. His Son, who purchased our spiritual freedom. His Son, who gave His life for us. His blood purchased the church. You know what the Lord's Supper offers us an opportunity to do? Yes, it offers us an opportunity to remember. It also offers us an opportunity to proclaim. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says this. It says, proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. The Lord's Supper is not only an opportunity for us to remember, it's an opportunity to proclaim the Lord's death. I can tell you this, when we travel, and we partake of the Lord's Supper, what an opportunity that is to proclaim the Lord's death. We have too many examples in the New Testament. We can look at Acts chapter 20, and we can see Paul basing his travel off the Lord's Supper. You can make a historical argument. How about we get out the history book, and we go back to the first century. Let's not use our Bible for a few moments, although we should. And go back and let's read the historical documents about what the first century Christians did. You know what they were doing? They were taking up communion. They were doing it in caves. They were doing it in hidden places sometimes. They were going to proclaim the Lord's death until it comes. There are not very many reasons to miss Passover in the Old Testament. If you were unclean, you could delay it a month. If you were on a journey, you could delay it a month. But I can tell you this, when it comes to Lord's Supper, and I see partake on the first day of the week, I don't think there are many reasons to miss. I think we really missed out on an opportunity. I think we missed out on an opportunity to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. The Lord's Day, partaking of the Lord's Supper, meeting and assembling and fellowshipping together on the Lord's Day, that is an opportunity to proclaim and encourage each other. I'm going to tell a story on Brother John. I believe this story could be told on a whole bunch of Christians, but I just personally like the story. I'm sure he would tell you if you asked him. But Sue and John were traveling to Africa. In preparation for their travels, they hunted down some faithful congregations in Africa. And you know what? All John got was a phone number, and they said, call this on the Lord's Day. I believe all the other details will be figured out. And I think that's what they did. They called that number, got in a taxi, and the directions were given to the taxi driver, and they ended up at an assembly of the saints in Africa. You think John and Sue were encouraged that day? You think the congregation there was encouraged that day to see some of their brothers and sisters in Christ from another land that wanted to proclaim the Lord's death, that wanted to do what God had asked them to do? I don't know everything, brothers and sisters in Christ, but when I look at Passover, there was not that many reasons to miss. And when I think of the Lord's Supper, and I look at the brothers and sisters in Christ that I read about in Acts, it didn't seem like they had many reasons to miss. Find the time that the brothers and sisters in Christ in Acts or throughout the Bible and the New Testament that they missed the Lord's Supper. Can you find it? I think of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. These individuals had become New Testament Christians, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what I believe the Christians did? They did what God asked them to do, and God asked them to remember the Lord on the first day of the week. I know in the denominational world, people make all kinds of crazy arguments against the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week. But if God wanted us to remember the Lord on a certain month, on a certain day, couldn't He have just given the same directions He did in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, He gives you the month and the day. God can give specific instructions. I don't know if I'm standing before God if I want to challenge Him on His instructions and say, God, I just didn't understand what you meant when you said the first day of the week. Can we understand that they were supposed to do it on a certain month, on a certain day, a Passover? He said a certain month, certain day, that's when Passover is supposed to be. But when God says the first day of the week, all of a sudden we get confused. He said the first day of the week. There's 52 of those last time I checked. And I believe our brothers and sisters in Christ would partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. You show me when they were missing. You show me when they were missing. Principle. There's not many reasons to miss. I think sleeping in is not a reason to miss. I don't think sports is a reason to miss. What reason would you have to miss the Lord's Supper? Because when I look in the pages of the New Testament, I don't see many. I think the question in many people's minds is, when is that point where I go from a mistake to being unfaithful? One preacher I heard say is, what is your norm? What is your norm? What is your norm? I've always looked at it this way. I am a faithful husband to Sarah, but I'm not perfect. I'm a faithful husband to Sarah, but I'm not perfect. What St. Sarah said, pick up our kids every day, Friday, from sports or school or whatever. He says, every Friday, I need you to pick up the kids. The first week, I miss. Well, she's going to be mad at me anyway, because, you know what, the kids are important. I should have missed that. So let's say I missed it a week. He might say, you know what, Kyle's a mistake. But what if it was 2 weeks? What if it was 3 weeks? What if it was 4 weeks? Then eventually Sarah's going to start asking some questions and say, are the kids important to you? Is partaking of the Lord's Supper important to you? Is this something that God wants us to do? I believe so. When I look and I start looking at this, is number one, there's possibly some reasons not to take the Lord's Supper. Number two, is there's not many reasons to miss the Lord's Supper. And I think God can distinguish between being unfaithful and a mistake. The last thing I want to consider is verse 13. And we'll close. In verse 13, it says in Numbers chapter 9, as you look in the passage there, it says, "But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people." We're working on principles this morning. If you're clean and you're not on a journey, you know what the punishment for not keeping Passover? You'll be cut off. Now, we're just dealing with principles, and the principle I want to take from that is, you know what? If you miss the Lord's Supper, I want you to understand that this is serious business. If you partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, that's serious business. If you miss the Lord's Supper, I think that's serious business. And you know what? I don't think it's just the Lord's Supper. Many people think that the Lord's Supper is elevated over all the other things that God has asked us to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you're not singing, and God told you to sing, I think that's a problem. If God told us to pray, and we're not praying, that's a problem. If God told us to partake the Lord's Supper, and we're not partaking the Lord's Supper, that is a problem. This is serious business. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Let's see how serious this is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself." The Lord's Supper is serious business. And I know many in our society, they don't take anything that God says seriously anymore. But when I look at how they handle Passover, there are reasons not to partake of Passover. When it came to Passover, you know what? There were not many reasons to miss. And you know what? It was serious business when you missed or abused Passover. And I think those principles apply to the New Testament today. I'm hoping the comparison this morning in principles maybe cut your heart a little bit. If you're unclean, you need to get clean. There are not very many reasons to miss the Lord's Supper. I'm not saying that there aren't reasons, but there are not many in my mind. And this is very serious business. We're going to have an opportunity, and I pray that you take advantage of that opportunity today. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be clean. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way we can this morning if you come as we stand as we sing.